In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, as 1 John chapter 4 affirms, is love. Therefore, the beginning of all things, both visible and invisible, was spawned by love. A love that cannot possibly be measured or defined. A love that can only simply be known. Love was present when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water, and when the darkness covered the deep. Love presided over the universe before the universe ever was. Love fashioned matter into being. Love formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his face the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Everything that was, is, and will be is derived from one supreme origin, love. But quite often, love does not come without sacrifice. Indeed, I should think that the entire created order lives between those two tensions. Some of the most precious of life's memories are bound to both love and sacrifice, aren't they? Think of some of the moments in your own lives where love has not come without sacrifice. And now ask yourself, are not those moments the nearest to your hearts? Each of us, unless our hearts are made of quartz, knows that with great love comes great sacrifice. Love and sacrifice is at the heart of what it means to be truly human. And today of all days is the day where love and sacrifice merge together in perfect harmony. For God gazed upon the canvas of his creation and gifted the world a living masterpiece. The nativity of Christ is a masterpiece meant for all of humanity, and the entire cosmos peers at it with awe. But in order for this gift to be pleasing and worthy of God's love, only a gift of God himself would do, hence his sacrifice. He, the artificer of all things, the beginning and the end, he became man on this day so that man might become God. The level to which he condescended is unfathomable, and his mercy uncontainable, and yet it is so. He sacrificed all so that man might be all in him. But we cannot embrace the birth of Christ without contemplating his death and his glorious resurrection. For it was not enough for God to lower himself to become man, but he also subjected himself to the most brutal and shameful deaths. And why? Because man's salvation depended on it. There was no other way, or else God would have demonstrated another way. God became flesh, not because he needed it for himself, but because of humanity's glaring need to be made whole, a wholeness that can only be rendered in and through the one that created it. As the gospeler John declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, most definitely. Today is a day to rejoice. Let your anxiety melt away, because he who lies in a manger has overcome the world. You who are heavy with fear and weighed down by life's cares, take heart, because your salvation has been born unto you this day. Let your tears of sorrow become tears of joy, for Christ has come to make all things new. Rejoice with one another because today the supreme light of Christ has obliterated the darkness. A disparaging and ravaged world has now been given hope, a hope that will never fade, because he who provides it shines on forever. May we all live in this light. Allow yourselves to receive it, for you were created to become sons and daughters of God. Christ has come, and we behold his glory. Christ has come, and love endures forever. Christ has come, for the same love that fashioned the universe has now become visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ has come, and the darkness trembles before him. Christ has come, for unto you this day humanity is adorned by the splendor of divinity. Christ has come. Rejoice, I say, for Christ has most assuredly come. Let us glorify him now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.